That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the family's wishes that supersedes everything. And unless you have it in black and white as an ordinance or some other thing, that you don't get an honest funeral if the mayor's not there, which, again, there would never be in writing, because then you're making it about the mayor, whether it's Brandon Johnson or somebody else. And I can assure you, I'm sure there's some families who didn't want Lori Lightfoot there. I'm sure there's some families who absolutely didn't want Rahm Emanuel there, or even Richie Daley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Fran Spielman. My guest this week is Fraternal Order of Police President John Catanzara. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
This has been a week of anguish for the Chicago Police Department, for you personally, for your members. Officer Luis Huesca, just shy of his 31st birthday, was laid to rest after being the victim of an apparent carjacking on April 20th, while driving home from work in the 3000 block of West 56th Street. His SUV was stolen and later recovered nearby. So was his service revolver, I believe. Where are we, John, on the investigation? We have an arrest warrant that's been issued for Xavier Tate, a 22-year-old from Aurora who was charged with the murder, but he is not in custody.
Well, there's obviously a lot of people looking for the offender. It's pretty obvious, I think, to most logical people that he is receiving a sentence on some level from some people. And whether it's Kim Fox, which I guess I'd be highly suspicious of, or the new incoming state's attorney, there definitely has to be a look at whoever assisted him in this run-and-hide scheme that he's been doing for the last week, because he's definitely had help. And they need to be charged.
And who do you
also
think has helped him? Is it family members? Is it girlfriends or friends? Who?
I don't know specifically, but I think it'd be a safe assumption it's certainly family. I mean, it was family that had Luis's semi-automatic weapon.
And there have been charges, I believe, against a brother. Is that right?
It was the cousin that had Lewis's gun.
Okay. And is that the major break in this case that Superintendent Snelling talked about after the funeral?
I mean, I don't know. I guess to some degree, but unless it leads to some kind of connect the dots to where actually this piece of garbage is actually hiding, I don't know how it's a major break, but I'm not privy to every aspect of the investigation. I just know they're obviously allocating a lot of resources to make sure we get justice for the family.
Was this a random carjacking? Could it have been anybody? Was he killed, do you think, because he was in the uniform? What do you think happened here?
I mean, my personal thoughts is, yes, I think the carjacking component of it probably could have happened to anybody. It was a crime of opportunity, but I absolutely firmly believe he was executed after that fact because he realized it was a Chicago police officer, and he just wasn't going to leave that level of witness behind. That's my personal opinion.
Now, John, you are on this show specifically to talk about the incredible weekend of back and forth intrigue and emotional heartache that this family suffered, that added to their anguish, you say, because of the politics of the family not wanting Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, Governor Pritzker, the state's attorney, the COPA chief, Andrea Kirsten, to attend this funeral. What happened? Take us through the blow-by-blow of what happened over the weekend. It went on for days. When did it start and why?
So the genesis of it all was I received a call from somebody close to the family, and they asked me what to do with this information that the family was conveying to them. This was on Wednesday, that they did not want certain people at his services and where to go with that. So I said that's certainly not information I can convey secondhand, that I will come meet with the family. And as long as they tell me that personally to my face, I will certainly be the messenger to deliver that message to try and avoid any issues like we saw in New York with Governor Holcomb or anything along those lines, and take away from the purpose of what we were going to do of memorializing and remembering and laying to rest Luis. And I didn't want anything to distract from that. So the attempt to get ahead of this was initiated on Wednesday as a timeline. Then when I met with the family on Friday afternoon, I was with them for several hours Friday and Saturday, and we talked about many things, Luis, you know, who he was, a lot of stories and stuff, but also their wishes. And I just not only asked them to confirm what I had been told, but, you know, to go into more a little in depth on how we got there. And they gave me a lot of backstory on why they felt the way they felt. But it wasn't necessarily just certain politicians by name. And I don't even think they said the governor's name. They just said the governor, the mayor, and obviously any other politician who has basically been against the police. They did not want them to have some kind of feel-good story that they can post on social media that they attended their brother's funeral when their policies and the things they believe in had some indirect cause for him being in that box, was the phrase that his sister kept saying over and over and over again. And sadly, when I heard it firsthand myself, I then reached out to our lobbyist, and that's his job to deliver the political messages to the powers that be. And our lobbyist did just that. Well, the governor's office, to his credit, understood the message and agreed and acknowledged they would not be going. Thank you very much. The mayor's office initially apparently said yes, message received, but then the following day started pushing back and claiming that they had had great conversations, the mayor and the brother, yada, yada, yada. The sister said he never spoke to my brother. He spoke to my uncle. So that just goes to show you how aware of what was going on he was and who he was talking to. But I think his pride got in the way at that point because maybe my name was involved. But again, this was a so now I knew I had to do something different. So at that point, I had called his sister and I had called our lobbyist, and I had her convey what she had told me to my lobbyist so he could hear it in person from her directly, so it would no longer be John Catanzara saying it. He could say he heard it directly from the sister. That's what happened. And I could tell you the final sentence that Lily told my lobbyist was, if he shows up there, I will make a scene and I will throw him out myself. The message couldn't have been any clearer. And that was on Friday or Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, I should say. Now, you think that's about as cut and dry and crystal clear as you can get. I thought everything was squared away and we were going to avoid any kind of drama or nonsense. Unfortunately, the family goes to the wake on Sunday, and family viewing starts at 11 o'clock. I get a message at 11:52. John, is the mayor really coming? I thought we had this solved. Are you kidding me right now? So I don't live too far away. I rush over to the funeral home. I get intercepted by police personnel who are telling me they had a conversation with the family, that they understand that the mayor is mandatory to be here. I basically lost it, and I said, stop your nonsense. You're lying. You're lying right now. You're lying to the family. There is nothing mandatory about the mayor's attendance, and shame on you for even trying to tell the family that this is the only option they have. I want to speak to the family right now. So that led to then me and the family in a room to the side. And again, this is during the wake. These are incidents, decisions, and conversations they should not be forced to be dealing with. But there was no other way to resolve it because I knew the way their hearts felt and how serious and deeply they felt about this, their wishes being honored. So I then connected them with the superintendent. We had a speakerphone conversation. They then conveyed their wishes directly, the three of them, to the superintendent and let them know what their wishes were. He basically made his calls from there. The family had, well, actually the sister and her husband had walked out of the room after he came to get her so she can get herself composed because she was pretty upset. Me and the mother and the brother were still in the room when another department personnel came in and started speaking Spanish to the mother and yet again tried to explain to her that it was mandatory, and I know this because the brother explained to me what she was saying in Spanish. It was mandatory that the mayor had to show up. I kicked her out of the room, and it just this constant badgering of the family and bullying of the family that this was part of the process was disgusting. And at one point, there was an implication that the honors funeral is tied to the mayor's attendance. And that was the guilt trip they were laying on this family. And the department is a very shameful moment in this department. And I don't take any pride in talking about this or putting this out there publicly. But I'm learning more and more that this has been somewhat of a practice. I don't know to the extent it was this time where the department basically navigates the family a certain direction. And maybe sometimes their wishes are not, or options are not as broad as you would think they were when it's their loved one that sacrificed for this city and this department. You would think whatever the family wanted within reason would be honored. I'm learning that that's not necessarily the case. That's pretty disheartening. So, yeah. And then later in the evening when the public viewing ended at 8 o'clock.
Saturday evening.
Correct.
Or Sunday.
Sunday evening, correct. So Sunday evening, the viewing stops at 8 o'clock. I had seen Representative Cuellar there, and I had spoke to Angie myself. Obviously, we have a personal relationship, and I explained to her what was going on. She was livid. Like, are you kidding me that this is even a conversation that has to be had? Well, then she ran into Susan Mendoza, the state comptroller, who equally was as frustrated and angered about this even being a conversation. They then, at about 8:30 that night, after everybody, most everybody had left except the family and a few of us, were introduced to the mother. And I was 5 feet away when they spoke to the mother in Spanish. And she was pleading with them to basically make sure that this message is delivered, that she would find it personally disrespectful for the mayor to attend her son's services. She was very clear. And I don't speak very good Spanish, but I picked up a couple words, and you could see just the heartbreak on her face and just the emotion on her face. Like, why do I have to keep saying this over and over and over again? Can you please put an end to this nightmare? Was the look on her face. So, you know, Representative Cuellar and State Comptroller Mendoza made phone calls to the chief, the mayor's staff outside the funeral home. They seemed like they got a dismissive response. They responded back to me later that night telling me that they had both spoken personally to the mayor and reiterated the story firsthand, not their version, but what the message was from the mother through them. And he was very flippant in his response to them. Thank you. A message received. Have a good night was pretty much the response. No commitment to not show up. We know for a fact that the mayor's advance team was even the morning of the funeral, yesterday morning, outside St. Rita, as if they were trying to figure out where he was going to come in and out of the services. And not until about 6:45, we're told, did they actually pick up stakes and leave the scene. And finally, I guess he announced he wasn't coming at that point. But it's just disheartening that this all became part of this process. But at the end of the luncheon yesterday, I asked the family a very simple question. Do we let this go, or do we continue to push? And they were 100%, we continue to push. We do not want any other officer's family to ever have to go through this trial and tribulation ever again. Period, full stop. That was all I needed to hear. They may not like the messenger, but the message is not mine. It is theirs, and I am simply carrying it for them to the people that need to hear it, because changes do need to occur. This can never be the narrative for another. And we all know there will be a 602nd, sadly, police officer's name on that wall at some point. and I'm simply trying to resolve these issues before they become a problem the next time.
When you say changes need to occur, like what?
On very clearly what options the families have as far as even locations. You know, I know for a fact that my class commander, Brian Strauss, all the way back in 2001, there was a very specific funeral home that his sister wanted to have it at. And the department even way back then said, you know, you got this option or this option. This is not what this is. I get it's logistically difficult for the department, depending on some locations. But again, the family's wishes should be met at any possibility, and a location of a funeral home, no matter how small, inconvenient, or congested it would be, should be accommodated. That's just one example of the problems that currently exist, where it seems like there's just this checklist that literally A, B, C, D, E need to be checked off in the process instead of speaking to the family, getting a clear picture of what they want, where they want it, how they want it, how big or how small they want it. None of those are literally apparently part of the conversation more times than not, and that needs to change.
Who was it who alluded to the fact that in order to have an honors funeral with all the regalia and the pomp and the circumstances and the wonderful traditions, this very unbelievably sad but wonderful traditions of a police officer's funeral, a slain police officer's funeral, that somehow would be tied to whether the mayor is allowed to attend or not? Who said that?
There were several members of the department of several different ranks. I'll just leave it at that.
Who said what?
I'm not going to name names. They know who they are. They all know who talked to me and who said it. And like I said, there were several members in several different ranks who repeated or implied that very thought.
That what? That if the mayor wasn't there, that what?
That the honors funeral is tied to the mayor's attendance, basically. Not that he had to speak, but that he at least had to be there. And again, I lost it every time I heard that, because nobody can produce a policy that says exactly that. He may be in a policy that says the mayor's attendance is, you know, required by him to be there, but that doesn't mean the family doesn't take orders from the department. It's the family's wishes that supersedes everything. And unless you have it in black and white as an ordinance or some other thing, that you don't get an honors funeral if the mayor's not there, which again, there would never be in writing, because then you're making it about the mayor, whether it's Brandon Johnson or somebody else. And I can assure you, I'm sure there's some families who didn't want Lori Lightfoot there. I'm sure there's some families who absolutely didn't want Rahm Emanuel there or even Richie Daley. But here we are.
What is the reason why the family did not want Brandon Johnson and Governor Pritzker and Andrea Kirsten and Kim Fox there? Why not?
So I would just recommend everybody go to the Lodge 7 YouTube channel from Saturday. And I normally do a Friday update, but it was Saturday this time, and I did it live, well, from the family's living room or dining room. And I gave them the camera and the opportunity to explain their emotions, their pain, their reasoning. So it's about a 10-minute video, and a lot of it's encompassed in that. But the one phrase that will ring in my head for the rest of my life is, their policies put my brother in that box. Uttered by his sister many, many times, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the wake, even again yesterday. They and again, this is all based out of, mind you, Luis's own opinions and ideas that he had shared when he drives out to LA or San Diego or Salt Lake City, visiting his brother and sister, having these conversations about these policies back in Chicago that make his job harder, that make Chicago less safe. He has conveyed these thoughts and feelings to the family members who are now honoring their brother's memory and literally saying what he had told them. And they want his message to get out. So this isn't even necessarily a family's feelings as much as it was the officer's feelings. And how much more poignant and important of a message can we get that should supersede anybody's feelings or ego?
And why do you suppose Mayor Johnson's, he personally and his staff pushed back on honoring the wishes of this grieving family?
Only he can answer that. I could certainly speculate. he has an ego the size of the Sears Tower. Yes, Sears Tower, not Willis Tower. He just refuses to publicly acknowledge that this membership does not support him. They never will support him, especially even more so. He may have lucky if he got 1% of our membership's vote when he became mayor. If he's lucky, it was 1%. After the arbitration debacle and basically being an anti-union mayor, violating our contract several times since he had it inked, it is not even 1% at this point, and he knows that, but yet he'll sit there and say he supports the police. He has done nothing to support the police since he has taken the oath of office. Nothing. Giving us a contract, was self-serving. That was self-serving to get it off his own plate. Certainly it benefited us on some levels, but then he violated many portions of that agreement pretty quickly thereafter. The raise and everything else and sweetening the deal was absolutely self-serving, so he didn't have to deal with this. And Franzik was very clear. The mayor wants this, so it's not part of his re-election issues. That was literally words that Franzik uttered from the mayor's office. So, again, it wasn't a benefit to the police department as much as it was self-serving.
But let's get back to this grieving family. What policies of Johnson's do they blame him for, as the sister so sadly put it, putting him in the box, or at least contributing to his death?
So my summarization of that whole thought is this. They weren't blaming Brandon Johnson for a specific policy as much as lawmakers in general. You know, I guess when it comes to the governor, you could say the Safety Act, who basically have allowed no cash bail. And I know it's a tender subject for some people, but there's no way to get away from what this family thinks and what Luis thought made Chicago less safe and his job more difficult. But whether it's the Safety Act, whether it's Kim Fox not charging people, the constantly making excuses at press conferences when you have team gatherings downtown, people running wild, looting, doing everything else, and excusing this behavior as just teenagers being stupid or young or whatever the case may be. All of these are encompassed in the family's emotional and firm, I guess, resolute beliefs that those policies are what led to Luis being in that box, as a sister kept saying.
What would have happened?
The criminals have more rights than the police officers do, was another phrase that his sister Lily uttered.
What would have happened if Brandon Johnson had shown up there?
Well, I gave Lily my commitment and the family my commitment that if that was their absolute belief, and like I said, not only did they tell me that Friday, but they also told me that Saturday. And I made arrangements and preparations, and I told her if he shows up, I'll do everything I can, include go to jail if I have to stop him from setting foot in that building. And she said, I'll go to jail with you, John, because I don't want him here. It was literally that clear of a message. And we tried to convey that. And I said, if anybody ever wanted to see John Catanzaro in handcuffs, you'll get your opportunity if the mayor shows up, because I will do everything I can to defend and represent my member, and especially a dead one, and their family's wishes. There is no greater mission of a union than that.
And she was prepared to do what if he had shown up?
Make a scene, get in his way, and whatever, and get arrested with me.
And you think that Johnson
talk. It certainly wasn't on my part. Anybody that knows me knows it's not. And I know she just wasn't being emotional about it. I know Lily absolutely was willing to get arrested over this if he was going to show up. That's how passionate she felt on behalf of the family.
And you think he was embarrassed about how it would look if he didn't show up at a, I mean, let's talk about the backdrop of this. I have never covered or seen a slain officer's funeral that did not have a mayor of Chicago and every other politician, but certainly the mayor of Chicago there and usually speaking. I think
maybe
I can,
you know,
maybe
I know.
Remember a few that maybe didn't speak, but I really don't remember too many, and certainly none where the mayor was told to stay away and did stay away. It is a command performance for the mayor of Chicago to be at the funeral of a slain Chicago police officer. It's the most gut-wrenching thing you do.
If you support the police. Lightfoot was not invited to speak at Ella French's funeral, and rightly so.
But she was there. She was there.
Correct. Well, but okay, and I started this whole conversation with saying we're slowly learning that a lot of these things have been festering for quite some time, where the department steers the family in the direction they want them to go, and or learning that the family doesn't think that they necessarily have options to stand up for what they firmly want, and that the department pushes them back the other way. I'll give you another example. Not only, and I hate to call her out here, but Maria Marmolejo is the Gold Star family president. She is basically the head of all the Gold Star family members. She asked to be introduced to Luis's family and was told by department members, let's wait until after the funeral, maybe before the memorial service, after Springfield. Why would you wait? This is her job, is to reach out to the new Gold Star family and explain to them who they are, what they do, the support they provide. But the department is preventing that from happening. Ariana Preston's mom, Dionne Moon, requested, and I had called her literally Sunday morning or afternoon as soon as this happened, because I knew this would be a triggering event for her because of the similarities, and talked to her extensively about this, making sure she was okay. And then I called her back on Wednesday and said, you know what? I think maybe it would be good if you came with me to talk to this family on Friday when I go. And she said, John, I actually asked to do that, and I was told this. Well, she was basically told the same thing that Maria Marmolejo was. Let's wait until after the funeral. The family's really exhausted now, and it's probably too much for them. We'll do it later. Well, guess what? When I went there Friday and spoke to them on Friday, part of the conversation was about Ariana's mom wanting to meet them. They said, absolutely, we would love to meet her. I brought her the next day on Saturday. She spent 2.5 hours with the family, and most of it in private with Lily, the sister. Dionne Moon can confirm 100% of what I'm saying, because not only is it John Catanzara saying this is what the family told me, Dionne Moon can tell you that's exactly what the sister told her too. And she feels a lot of the frustration, and she felt a lot of the direction navigating that the department did, even for Ariana's funeral. So again, I know people don't like the messenger sometimes, but the message is 100% pure, and it comes from the heart.
Yeah, they'll say, well, that's John Catanzara. You know, he's a firebrand, and he's stirring up trouble. And
let him say that about a Gold Star family member like Dionne Moon, who lived it firsthand, and is still frustrated in many ways about the way she still gets treated sometimes over certain things. It's just, here, think about this. Melina is Andres Vasquez Lasso's widow. Melina was not even asked if she wanted to be graveside, even though these are classmates. They all knew each other. The mothers knew each other. I guarantee you, I didn't learn this until literally we were getting in the car for the funeral procession, that she was not asked to be part of the procession. She was parked several blocks away and was never even invited to go to the cemetery, even though her husband and Luis were friends and classmates, and the families all knew each other. How does people not think of these things? It is beyond me. It is not only for the family's sake, but the Gold Star family. And think about it's just mind-boggling to me what we don't think of about going the extra mile for these families during these times. And I've made a commitment when we got in this office back in 2020, that these kind of situations, we were going to do everything humanly possible as a union to go above and beyond for these families in excess of what the department does, because that's just what our mission should be. And I don't know 100% when it changed, but I do know that, you know, when Sergeant Sharon Boyd was promoted to Sergeant Lieutenant Boyd, or I should say Lieutenant Boyd, there isn't apparently a lieutenant spot in that unit, and she went back to patrol. Something's changed in that unit, as far as empathy, caring, and consideration for the family, because Sharon Boyd was phenomenal. And I don't think anybody, as far as Gold Star family members, will say anything otherwise than how loving, compassionate, and caring Sharon was in their worst times. Anytime I ever saw a Gold Star family during these tragedies, whether it was the French, the Lasso family, the Moon family, Sharon was always there, literally always there every single time. That wasn't the case this time.
Andrea Kirsten showed up, the head of COPA, and what happened there? She was told to stay away too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like I said, there wasn't a long laundry list of yes and no's from the family in the conversations. You know, it was very clear the policymakers, the people who have been anti-police, but her name did specifically come up in the conversation. So I knew she was definitely on the no list. So as I was handing out the numbered mourning bands in the line to the officers waiting for viewing, I look up and lo and behold, here's the Princess of Darkness herself, and looked at me with a smile like, hi. And I'm like, I laughed. I'm like, what are you doing here? The family does not want you here. And she looked at me and was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Very smugly, like, ignore me. Okay, well, I continued down the line to the end of the tent. And as I came back, she's still in line. And I looked at her. I said, I'm serious. I'm telling you, the family does not want you here. They didn't want the governor here. They didn't want the mayor here. They definitely don't want you here. You need to leave. And she, again, just nodded her head like, whatever, and ignored it. So at that point, I went back in the funeral home. And on my way looking for a specific person, I ran into Alderman Chico and Alderwoman Lee. And said, maybe you can go talk some sense into her. And went on my merry way looking for the brother-in-law, because I didn't want to bring this back to Lily because she was so drained from the earlier conversations, and figuring him could come out with me and convey the family's wishes to her in person if that's what she needed to hear it from. But apparently by the time we had got back to the front door, the alderman had saw her and kind of let her know that they're hearing that she wasn't wanted also. And she had then kind of came through the front door, right out the hallway and out the back door right away without even going into the funeral home, really.
So
because the cameras were pointing to the front of the building.
The chapel is, you mean for the funeral yesterday?
Correct. No, the wake. No, she wasn't. They were not at the funeral again. No, yeah.
She didn't show up at the funeral. She showed up at the wake and she went right.
Yeah, no, they were not. Yeah, right. And you know, the crazy part is think about the politics of this city. There are other police related entities, I'll just leave it at that, in this city who have some kind of oversight or interaction with the police department. And for everybody else to kind of claim they have no idea what was going on is ridiculous, because two heads of other agencies actually reached out to me, text me, and said, I heard what's going on. Am I going to be a distraction if I show up? Literally, that am I going to be a distraction? They had the foresight to know that I might be a distraction. Maybe I shouldn't go. And I told them both, no, you were specifically not mentioned. It's fine if you show up. You're still welcome to come. But thank you for asking and having the consideration for the family ahead of time.
Now, Johnson did not attend the wake, but he was, you believe, concerned about how embarrassing it would be if he didn't attend the funeral. He did not attend the wake, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And he, you believe, was concerned about his image and what it would look like if the mayor of Chicago did not attend a funeral of a police officer who was killed in the line of duty.
Correct.
And that's, the pushback is the pushback that you say was delivered by the top brass of the police department.
But the narrative, it was two options at this point. The narrative was, oh my God, the family asked you not to be there. Why do you think the family didn't want you at the funeral? That's narrative number one. That's a certainly much easier narrative to respond to, control if you're the mayor, whatever the words you want to use, other than narrative two, which is, why did you go somewhere you clearly weren't wanted and repeatedly told not to be at, and you ignored a fallen officer's family's wishes? That's a much more scathing and embarrassing narrative to have to control. And I think
if there had been a scene at a funeral.
There would have been. There would have been. And I wouldn't have done it unless Lily basically said that she was going to do it. I wasn't going to do it arbitrarily. But when she said, I will make a scene, then I basically let her know I'll be standing there right next to you, and I'll go to jail if I have to, if that's your wishes. Again, some people are going to say I'm imposing my will on this family, but I have witnessed. I get more than a few people can testify that has nothing. John was simply the guy who said he was willing to deliver a message that certain people just didn't want to deliver and other people didn't want to hear.
Do you blame Superintendent Snelling for not telling the mayor directly early on in the weekend that this was the family's wishes and that he needed to stay away?
I don't know what the superintendent told the mayor, but I know the message to the superintendent was clear from the family themselves on the day of the wake on Sunday. So what conversations occurred between the mayor and the superintendent after that, I have no idea.
But the message somehow didn't get delivered, or there was too much pushback and he didn't put his foot down, Snelling.
That's speculation to some degree, and then certainly a question the superintendent can answer. I'm not going to speak for him.
Well, he didn't want to talk about the politics and mar the day that should have been and was devoted to this fallen hero, Luis Huesca, the tragedy of his death, unbelievable tragedy, such anguish for the city, for his family, and so on. But in fact, do you blame him for not standing up to the mayor who supported him and appointed him?
Well, I mean, something changed. The mayor didn't show up. So there's certainly some changes that are going to need to occur. There's going to be, I'm sure, very heated discussions about what change looks like, about how we make sure none of this ever happens again.
What needs to happen, John? What needs to happen?
There's been many discussions of maybe the department simply provides the manpower and someone else does the planning and the pop, and who's not employed by the city or, you know, obligated to listen to certain people. They're simply responsive to the family's wishes and dictating what the family wants and organizing services in an honorable memory or memorial in accordance with the family's wishes, and that's it. You know, the Hunter Club and even ICOPS do this for just about all police departments in the state of Illinois. They know what they're doing, and they certainly don't work for every municipality, or any municipality for that matter, where they have to listen to political pushback from anybody. It's, listen, we're here for the family, this is what we're doing, this is the plans, and this is what we need from your department to participate. And then I guess it would be up to the department. I don't know if that's where we end up going with this, but all I know is the system has some issues that need to be addressed. I'm not saying it's broken, but there's definitely some shortcomings that need to be addressed. And if we don't get them satisfactorily addressed, and my goal is to bring in Gold Star families who maybe have felt not able to speak their mind about their experiences and their disappointments on some level and address those concerns and experiences that they have already encountered. So it's not just one person complaining or two people. It's a bunch of people saying, these are the issues that I think need to be addressed. And if the department can't commit to getting those right and doing them a different way, then we're going to certainly push for an entirely different process going forward.
But who is it who added to this family's anguish this weekend and last week?
I think it absolutely falls at the mayor's doorstep, number one, because if they would have just said right away, like the governor did, okay, thank you, message received, we will not be there. We'll honor the family's wishes. If they would have said that on Friday, on Saturday, or even on Friday, we wouldn't even be here right now. Everything else that would have occurred wouldn't have occurred. There's still some other little T's crossed, I's dot that need to be addressed, but that was the main issue right there.
But instead, and sadly, it was pretty much touch and go right up until the funeral.
And through the funeral, there was aldermen there. There was aldermen there that shouldn't have been there. Their own 14th Ward alderman is a socialist that doesn't like the police, but yet she showed up. Michael Rodriguez, the chairman of Workforce Development, railed against arbitration, literally showed up, shouldn't have been there. I mean, people who voted against our membership still had the gall to show up like they support the police. They're self-promoting clowns, to use Lightfoot's favorite word.
And let's end by talking a little bit about what made Luis Huesca so special in his short life, that he made such a difference.
You know, I could tell you, I've spending so many hours with the family over those 2 days, and even the wake and the funeral. I told his brother yesterday at the luncheon that I literally wish, and if nothing else, I'm going to make it a concerted effort to learn more about my members on a more personal level, not as more than just a hi and a handshake. Because the more I learned about Luis, the more I kind of saw a younger version of myself. You know, Luis would just get in his car and go just drive, literally just drive just to somewhere random, for no rhyme or reason other than just the experience and the adventure. And I see a lot of, I still do that to this day. You know, he has a passion for food and cultures. So there was so many unique things that really kind of clicked in my head. Like, man, I have some really amazing members that I really need to try and relate to, but specifically about Luis. He was just such a good-hearted human being. And I'm not sitting here saying that he didn't realize that, you know, the police law enforcement profession was changing and that he was against change, because he wasn't. He was actually for change. But it's policies that make it more dangerous for everybody that he was against. He was, as you heard, even in the eulogies by certain officers, the kind of guy that was more of a would de-escalate situations and kind of smooth talk his way into the same result someone else would have. He just had a different perspective and a different approach to policing. But as far as a human being, but it was just as effective, by the way. I'm not saying he wasn't effective. He just had a different take and more of the modern approach, where we keep talking about be the change. Well, you know, him, Ariana, Andres, do we need to keep going about Ella, about being the change? And these changes keep getting, unfortunately, murdered.
That's the horrible thing about this, that they were the change, and the change is being obliterated by these horrible acts of violence. John Catanzara, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck on preventing future controversies like this going forward. And we will see you all next week.
Thanks, Rain.